Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Monday, June 20th, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart? I'll be there for you. I'm not going to be 100%. I would respond and try to give you as much advice as I possibly can. I'm not a doctor. I'm not certified in any of this, but I would be a helping hand. I would lend you my ear and my empathy, I guess. Okay. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival, and you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lambert. So this is an odd Monday of sorts, because I actually went to work today. I normally don't work on Mondays, but I was being a good corporate drone and I came in on my off day. Did not get fired like on Friday. So the podcast is coming a little late. And I wanted to hold the show. I wanted to hold it. I was going to record yesterday, but I said, you know what? Let me wait until the end of the finals and get a chance to comment on it. And I did. And the Cavs won. Oh my God, they shocked the world. They sure did shock me, because I thought it was over. And if you listen to last week's episode, I was literally just giving up. I did not want to be around the television on Monday, because I thought it was this past Monday, last week. I did not want to be around the TV. And I just said, you know, by the time I get home, because I was out all day Monday, and I got home and they were winning, and it was great. And they forced the game 7, and it was just fucking amazing. Like, LeBron, it's LeBron and Mike. It's Michael, LeBron, and Kobe right now, young. I think LeBron's better than Kobe, to be honest with you. Fight me. An amazing, he averaged, damn near averaged a triple-double in the NBA Finals. And he played well. I think that's the most nervous I've been since they won their first one, since he won his first one in Miami. But this one had even more weight to it because of his quest. I don't know if it was a proclamation, but he came back to Cleveland to win. And that's what he set out to do it, and he did it. And he completed the narrative that I've been blabbing about for the past 2 years. And it's amazing. Like, it's nothing short of amazing. What LeBron did with the Cavs this year, it's better than any Marvel movie that will ever be made. And he did it after they lynched his jersey when he left. They Fahrenheit 451'd his jersey, Ray Bradbury literary reference, nerd. And he did it, man. It was amazing. I'm so happy for him. So happy for Cleveland. Shout out to the homie Jason Lawhead. If you go to Jason Lawhead, I think his Instagram is Lawhead's Court. And if you go to his Instagram, you'll see his girlfriend taped him like reacting to the game, and it's fucking adorable, because you could see Like, Jason's like, he's in his 40s, but it's just great because he's waited his whole life for a win like this, and it's a beautiful thing. And you can't, how can you not get behind something like that? How can you not get behind this story? How could you not like LeBron? But there are the haters. There are the haters out there, and Skip Bayless was hating on Twitter. For the life of me, I should have DVR'd First Take to just get the reaction from Skip and Stephen A. That would have been good to watch. But my God, and he did it. And Kyrie, oh my God, that guy, he's got to be top five. He's got to be one of the best. You got to consider him one of the best point guards in the league. So fearless, like driving to the back, not just like take like the three pointer on Steph Curry was clutch. That was amazing. I was, because throughout the whole series, he's just been making these shots. They're like, what the fuck are you doing, Kyrie? Oh, okay, you made it. All right, that's fine. It's totally fine. I knew it was gonna go in. So whatever you wanted to do with that, it's cool with me. So it's good. Driving to the basket. Just such utter fear. He's just got ice in his veins. He's cold-blooded. He's amazing. And he stepped up to the plate when they needed him. J.R. Smith stepped up to the plate, driving to the basket, shooting threes. He didn't fuck up. So everybody's going, like, talking about him him getting drunk off the Hennessy. He was pouring champagne. People were doing little memes with his picture crying. And he had one of the – I would say even more than LeBron crying. I'm so glad that he got to exhale, and he got emotional, and I almost got emotional watching it. I mean, I would tell you. I mean, I cried during Eddie the Eagle alone in a theater at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a fucking Wednesday. So I would tell you if I cried. I kind of thought that I was, but it was just, I thought I was going to, but it was just so great seeing LeBron just exhale like that, because he's been so reserved. You know, he's like, oh, we'll just deal with the results, and we'll play, and we'll do what we need to do, and we'll my teammates, and we'll just live with the results, and, you know, we're going to try to do it for Cleveland. But it was so good to hear him exhale like that and have that moment, and then the hugging Kevin Love stepped up, 14 rebounds, he hit a couple big shots. Everybody, just the role players really stepped up, and they in a hostile environment. There's this one shot with LeBron holding the trophy. It's like just one of those shots, and you just notice, like, he's in the foreground. In the background, you just see this sea of yellow and white. It's a beautiful shot. And it's just, he did it, man. And it was just great. And I would say J.R. Smith, so next to LeBron, even more than LeBron a little bit. Right now I got SportsCenter on mute, and he's talking to Doris Burke. And you could see him, you know, kind of breaking down. And he's got an adorable little daughter. So I'm so glad that he did it. And J.R. Smith at the podium, man, just letting loose and just really opening up and crying. And, you know, it's, of course, it was Father's Day weekend. Father's Day, just like, it was so great. Just, and that's what it's about. Like, because everybody clowns J.R. Smith for being a fuck up and for being a partier, you trying to get the pipe and blah, blah, blah. But he had that real honest moment in it, and it just goes to show you that these are humans. These are guys. Like, they're super athletic. They're in the best shape that anybody could possibly be in. And these guys at the core, they're human. And it's just like, it's just a beautiful thing, man. I don't know if you can't get behind that. I don't know, Young. If you can't really see the emotion in that, it's just like, Sure, just see, not really the emotion, obviously, but just the humanity in that, because you just kind of see these guys as I'm gonna get to this a little later in the show. I don't know how long this thing's gonna go, but how long have I been blabbing so far? For a good 10. So I've been blabbing for a good 10. It was just great to see, man. Like, he's just giving honor and respect to his parents, which is something, God, like, what I think most people, if you had decent parents or who in your life, that you would just want to honor them on a stage like that. You know, that's got to be like a dream come true. So yeah, that was a beautiful thing. So I'm really glad that they won. Now you can't hate on LeBron now, man. I know people will still try to do it, but y'all gotta shut the fuck up, man. You can't. It's undeniable now. He said he was gonna bring the chip back. He said he was gonna bring the chip. That's what he was. I don't know if he said. Did he say he was gonna do it? And he said he was gonna try. I think he said he was gonna try. I don't know, man. It's just like it's amazing. And I could watch. This was the wrong Monday for me to come to work. It would have been like because I would have stayed up and watched all of it. But I was like, damn, I was gonna. I told him I was gonna come in to work, young. But it was all. It's all good. Just really, really happy for him. Like, I mean, I had to get something right because Cam Newton didn't win. What I didn't like on Twitter, and they were right about it. The internet is always. I may not agree with them, but they were right in this regard where they had the picture of Steph Curry and Cam Newton. Like, all right, look, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna win big in the regular season and then just choke in the playoffs. And I was like, fuck, they right, but I don't like it. Then it was a Vine of some kid dabbing on Dell Curry, Steph Curry's dad. Like, and Dell looked like he wanted to beat the shit out of that kid. And it's like, yo, don't be disrespecting the new Grandpa Huxtable, man. Because I think the Currys, despite their indiscretion, despite Steph's bad play and Aisha going crazy on Twitter, I think they're still the new Huxtables. They have to be for my bit. So I'm milking that as long as I can. Yeah, so the Warriors just collapsed. And I don't know. Wow, it's what can you say? Like, what was this, 13 or 14? So how many games did they play? They played 13 games? So this game was 4-3 Cleveland, so that's 7. And 4-2, I'm so bad at math. This is so bad right now. So the last year, 6-7 is 13. Yeah, they played 13 finals games, and Curry didn't play well. He played well on two of them, and Klay didn't really play that well. And Draymond was the only one that showed up. If somebody would have helped him out. They were talking about this on Lebatar's show. If somebody, Stu God said, if somebody showed up for a little bit or made their average, they would have won. They'd have won the game. It just seemed like that block in game six, that block that LeBron had on Curry and that look that he gave him, that's when the tide sort of changed. And yeah, Draymond being out was a big issue for him, but that block really, LeBron was like, "Yo, this is if you gonna get it, you ain't getting it this easy. You ain't gonna get it easy." And they just never gave up. They did it when I didn't fucking believe in them because I thought it was over. All right, so I've blabbed enough about that. Happy for the Cavs and all that stuff. Speaking of basketball, I was on a YouTube journey on Friday night. So Friday night, watched game six and enjoyed it. And I think I fell asleep, woke up, and then just got into this YouTube rabbit hole, this YouTube journey where I started watching videos and stuff and music videos or interviews, and then just started looking at Vice Sports. And I found out that Carmelo Anthony has a web series on Vice Sports called Stay Mellow, where he goes to these different locales. Like, he went to Cuba, he went to Puerto Rico, like one of the poorest areas in Puerto Rico, and interviewed people, just walked around and all this cool shit. And then he went to Rikers Island and interviewed the inmates, talked to the inmates, spent the whole day, went to some places that they couldn't show you in the prison. And it opened my eyes a lot, and it made me really like Carmelo Anthony. I'm a Carmelo Anthony fan now. Because before, I was just like, oh, he's fucking lazy, he's just a black hole, all he cares about is scoring, just cares about the money and all this and that. And like watching that just made me realize, oh, this is a real guy. Just like the J.R. Smith moment, just like the LeBron moments last night, it was just like, oh wow, this is a guy. I like Melo now. And like, he's into art, and he's talking about, oh, Lala got me this piece for my birthday or whatever. And he's just going all around doing his thing. And it's just like, it made me like him a lot more. And he had like empathy for the inmates when he visited. So I'm a Melo fan now. You know, I'm a root for the Knicks. I'm a root for them to get some pieces. I don't know. I saw some guys arguing on Facebook about like trades that he's turned down, because I guess he has a no trade clause, or he has trade approval. That's the best way to use it. So yeah, just made me, it just opened my eyes up a little more. And I'm not the type of guy that would be like, oh, these guys, fuck this guy. I've never really been like, fuck that guy, unless he like beat the shit out of somebody or killed somebody, you know, like some shit like that. But overall, it's just been like, oh, you know, they're, you know, sometimes I fall into that trap. Oh, these guys are disposable and they're just players and all that shit. But it just really opened my eyes. And then they have this, I'm trying to find the name of, let me go to YouTube and try to find the name of the, what the hell they call it. It's like a ride along thing. I don't know what it is. And of course, I'm trying to look at my YouTube homepage, and of course, nothing is coming up. Shit. Oh, and the really good, what got me into it, and I'll find it, what really started my YouTube journey was watching this from about a year or two ago. Matt Barnes Is No Damn Phony with Vice Sports Meets, and it's a 11-minute and 53-second story, like a little mini doc on Matt Barnes. And like, this is another thing, like it really humanized Matt Barnes, because he was like, he's essentially the NBA's version of a goon. You know, like in hockey they have the goon, the guy that just goes in to fight and fuck people up, the enforcer. Udonis Haslam would be considered to be an enforcer / goon or whatever. And it just really peeled back the onion on Matt Barnes. And like, you, and this is like the more that I learned about Matt Barnes, I would say definitely watch this. If you're interested, I would say, yeah, you watch it. It's 12 minutes out of your life. And it's really good. And he talked about his upbringing. It's just like, I fuck with Matt Barnes. I really fuck with this guy. And then the more you watch this, the more you get invested into his life. You're like, fuck you, Derek Fisher. You fucking, you creep, you know. So that was really good. And that's what started my YouTube journey. So this thing, I guess, so they have a thing where they follow these guys around. or they're just in a car and they drive around. So Iman Shumpert did one and J.R. Smith did one. And like J.R. Smith, they were talking about like, what's it like playing with LeBron? What's it like playing with Melo? Shumpert did one about Cleveland versus New York, just how they are as a city. And he really was like breaking down about how, yo, you know, New York, y'all booed me when I got drafted. And he proved himself and he got hurt. People were really, they had to walk back the way that they, you know, treated him. So he was talking about that. So it was really good. Vice Sports has some good shit. I know they have their documentaries and stuff, but I was really impressed. And I enjoy most of the behind the scenes, off the field features that really give you a background or insight on players and stuff. So I really appreciated that. So YouTube journeys are always, always fun. I forgot to mention this last week. So I told you guys I went to the Odyssey concert, and there were a couple moments that stood out during the show that didn't even involve Odyssey. Well, they involved him, but there's some weird dude. I don't know if he was trying to hit on some guy's girlfriend, and he was just like this really short guy, and the guy's girl kept getting mad, and then they left, and that was weird because it seemed like they were having a good time, and then that dude made him leave. It just seemed like a weird moment, and there was some guy that looked like he was trying to charge his phone on Odyssey's equipment. That was a weird thing. But so one of my favorite songs that Odyssey has is off his album, The Good Fight. I believe it's called Contradiction's Maze. And I want to say that I'm right. Let me see. Odyssey. Contradiction's Maze. And it's the song that goes like, I think I'm in a maze. And the beat and the production, it has a trombone that goes, and then it's, you know, and then the beat drops and all that. It's a really dope fucking song. So at the end of that song, you know, the crowd's clapping, they're having a good time, and all of a sudden you hear, and it's a young guy playing the trombone. He has a fucking trombone and he's in the crowd. He's playing the trombone, and Odyssey looks, he's like, whoa. And he's like, yo, he's like, play that again. And he did it. And then he had his guy on the MPC and started like vibing out, and they had a little moment. He was like, yo, give me your info after the show. I'm always looking for new musicians. We'll connect. And I was like, oh, shit, that guy. That's what you call shooting your fucking shot. Like, that dude really, he really shot his shot. And so he got rewarded for it. And I think that's something, it's a testament to what you had to do in life, man. I know I've been doing that a lot more than I usually do. I think fear is something that holds you back, and you don't really get to achieve greatness, or you don't come near it unless you take a step out and do that. And it's something I've done this year more than I would have done last year, 2-3 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, blah, blah, blah. So that was cool. So shoot your shot, man. Like, you know, shoot your shot, young. So that's something that I wanted to mention and I forgot to mention. You nerds didn't tell me about E3. I didn't really see any of the nerds that I follow on social media. Nobody talked much about E3, which is the, now what is E3? So how can I explain it to the ladies who have so their vaginas can dry up as I talk about video games? Electronic Entertainment Expo that happens every year. And they do it in LA. So it was June 14th through the 16th. And how long have they been doing this? So it was 21 years ago, May 11th, 1995. It's a really big event, and it's where companies release all, they talk about all their video games, their upcoming games and stuff. And I saw, I guess I'll just talk about a couple games that I saw that looked good, the trailers. The new Spider-Man looks fucking amazing for PS4. He's got a new kind of suit on, like a new kind of design on his suit. It just looks spectacular. It looks a lot of fun. And I'm assuming it's going to be similar to the versions that were on the like Activision and I guess the more recent Spider-Man movie, whatever. But it just looks really good on PS4. And I think that's a game that I would give a shot to. I guess I would give it a shot. It's a sexy game. The Last Guardian, which I'm not 100% sure if I talked about that a few weeks ago. I feel like I did, or I feel like I was talking about it on Facebook with some nerds, and I asked them, why didn't you guys tell me about this? And they were like, well, it's been delayed. And it's just like this game. I probably talked about the shit. If I talked about it already, make your drinking game list and, you know, get drunk or something. It's framed. Okay, so here we go. The Last Guardian story is framed as a flashback narrative told by an elder man recounting his experience as a young boy meeting a giant feathered creature resembling a griffin named Trico. The name of the creature can be taken to mean prisoner, baby bird, or blah, 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 blah. In the flashback's present, the boy has been kidnapped under mysterious circumstances and taken to a large, expansive castle. The boy wakes to find tattoos on his body he did not have before being kidnapped. All right, basically, so you're this kidnapped thing. It is kidnapped kid. It's some, like, futurist. It's some, like, fantasy type thing, and it's this big ass fucking never ending story type creature that helps you get around, and it's made by the people that made Shadow of the Colossus, so that same production company that did that. And it just looks really fascinating, beautiful. Definitely I'm assuming you're gonna have this really beautiful and amazing heartfelt connection with this creature that's probably going to make me cry at some point when it dies, I'm assuming. That's just me being pessimistic. But that looks like an amazing game. So that would be something that I would try. If you remember, if you ever watched the movie with Adam Sandler and Don Cheadle, Rain Over Me. Is it Rain Over Me or Rain On Me? Rain. It's the movie where, every time, I didn't know I was going to talk about this, and I want to make sure I give you the right, you know how I am at this point to the people. Rain Over Me, 2007 movie with Don Cheadle and Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler plays a guy who lost his family during 9/11, and he used to be roommates with Don Cheadle in college. They reconnect, and so like he kind of, Adam Sandler's character is kind of in a funk, so all he does is like plays Shadow of Colossus on PlayStation, I think maybe like PlayStation 2 or something, and PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, I guess PlayStation 3 probably, and that's one of the game. That's the game that he plays. And it's just like you play this guy that tries to kill these big, giant monsters. And it just looks like it's so vast and expansive. You could see, like, just looking at the demo of the game, like, it's just so, like, the scale of it is so immense, and it's breathtaking in a lot of ways. So that's something to look forward to. And then there's a game. a game that I'm kind of like, I don't know how to feel about it. I'm kind of looking at it like, it's a game called Days Gone for PS4. It's a PS4 exclusive. And it's basically, they're billing it as Sons of Anarchy meets The Last of Us. And I'm kind of looking at this game like Screwface, because it's like, really, niggas? Really, young? Y'all going to try to remake The Last of Us, one of the best games ever created by man? Like, that, you know, like, are you really going to do this? And so it looks good. It looks good. And the thing is, like, it's a post-apocalyptic thing, and it's 2 years after this post-apocalyptic thing happened, and they got zombies, and the zombies, they fucking come at you. It's like hordes. It's like fleets of these things chasing you, and you got to figure out a way how to get out of it. It looks good, but I'm going to be skeptical as fuck until I play it and it blows me away. So now, like, obviously in the fall, that's when most of these games come out. And there's another game that Detroit Becoming Human. Detroit Become Human. And it's like, it's, I think Quantic Dream, the folks that made, I feel like they made Beyond Two Souls, but I could be wrong. They did Heavy Rain, and so the people that did Heavy Rain did that shit. Yep, they did Beyond Two Souls, and it looks like one of those the games where you it's like a movie where you make your decisions, and then you press X if you want to look it up. It looks good. It's one of those like movie video games, kind of like the game I was telling you guys about. Oh my god, you guys, Until Dawn, kind of like that. Like, you choose your own adventure game and you can't go back after you make a decision. Kind of like Life is Strange, which is a really good game, but I felt like they lost it, kind of ran out of steam towards the end. It was a little too long. So that looks good. So it's a lot of they got a lot of stuff coming out, man, that I'm excited about that I don't know if I'll have time to play, and I probably won't. But I think the one game that I'm going to make time for is Tomb Raider when the shit comes out for PS4. So there's other stuff I wanted to talk about. Let's do movies, and then we'll close with music. So I saw one movie last week. I saw this movie called Maggie's Plan, and it was, so I'll read you the blurb. A woman, a woman, Greta Gerwig, falls in love with a married man, Ethan Hawke, then devises a strategy to reunite him with his former wife, Julianne Moore, 3 years later. This was a good movie. I really liked this. It was quirky. It was fun. I liked the cast. Greta Gerwig, it was good seeing her in a movie where she wasn't playing somebody that was just like super irresponsible and didn't have any like, her character had responsibilities. Like, she made these things happen. She was a cause. She was the catalyst for a lot of the bullshit that happened. And she had to deal with those consequences or deal with those repercussions. And it was good seeing her be more of an adult. Because you watched her in most, she came out of the mumblecore school where, like, they had the movies that I know for sure. That I've talked about, like the Joe Swanberg movies that have the like the loose structure of the script, and you know, you kind of the script is it's they're the screenplays are kind of the shit's improvised for the most part, and so I like this movie. Like, it's a good supporting cast too. Bill Hader and Maya Rudolph were in it. Funny too. Like, it was funny. I had a good experience in the. I went to the Landmark Sunshine Cinema, in the, I guess you call that Lower East Side, Village area. Went with a friend, and it was fun. Like, it was really, really good. It reminded me of the time where my cousin and I went to go see The Squid and the Whale, and that was like, God, was that like early 2000, like maybe like 2004, 2005, and we were watching that movie. We were laughing our asses off. Now, I laughed in this one, but there were parts when I saw Maggie's Plan where I was laughing out loud, and I think I might have been one of the only people laughing. And it's an indie theater, but it's like, yo, you guys don't have to be that uptight. Or maybe I was just enjoying it more. But yeah, The Squid and the Whale, another recommendation if you have not seen that movie. Kevin Kline and who else? Oh my God, Chris. The Squid. I know it's a Noah Baumbach movie. Kevin Kline wasn't it. Jeff Bridges and Laura Linney, 2005. A pair of brothers living in Brooklyn are caught in the middle of and deeply affected by the divorce of their erudite parents, Bernard, Jeff Daniels, and Joan Berkman, Laura Linney. Yeah, good movie. Jesse Eisenberg is in it. Oh, Owen Klein, Kevin Klein's son, is in it. That's why I thought that was that. That's why. Yeah, so I really enjoyed that. It made, like, that was like, to, I don't know, that was fucking hilarious to me. Me and my cousin was just laughing like shit in a like an art house place in Rockville, Maryland, having a hell of a time. And then we went to Ruby Tuesdays. And it's directed by Rebecca Miller, who did this movie that I really liked called Personal Velocity, Three Portraits. This is for you feminists out there. And I actually read the book of this too. She wrote a novel by the same name and the same characters. Personal Velocity is a tale of three women who have reached a turning point in their lives. That's all I'm going to say about that. If you're interested in it, go rent it, find it, probably streaming somewhere. But I didn't notice it until at the end. I didn't know that she directed it until the credits. I was like, oh shit. I was like, all right, I like Rebecca Miller. So that is a movie. That's a movie recommendation for you if you're not into whatever's playing. I think if I go to the movies this weekend, it might be to see The Shallows, the Blake Lively movie where she's a surfer and the shark's coming to get her. I don't know. Like, the next movie that I'm really excited about is Don't Think Twice, the Mike Birbiglia improv movie. So I'm really excited about that. Yeah, other than that, like, I don't know what else. It's something out there. Hopefully some new independent shit will be out that I can see. Okay, what else? Music. Wale came out with a mixtape over the weekend, this past weekend, called Summer on Sunset. It's solid. I mean, I like Wale. I just root for the guy, but I'll listen to it again. Off the first listen, he had some joints, and it seemed to pick up for me towards the end. It's fine. If you like Wale, you're gonna like it. But it seemed like he was kind of mumbling through some of the stuff. Like, I guess because that's kind of the trend now. But it's like, Wale, you're much better than that, dude. So we'll see. I've said this before about Wale. Like, I like the guy, and I'm glad that he's doing well. And I'm, because he's from DC. I just really need to go back into his catalog and just really, really give him another shot. It's fine. I like the album. I like the album artwork. Look like what do you call it? Grand Theft Auto. It's a Grand Theft Auto-esque album cover. That was cool. What I did stumble upon during my YouTube journey over the weekend, Jamie Woon, who I've told you about maybe like late last year when I found out about him on an NPR list of underrated R&B albums for 2015 or most slept on or some shit like that. Jamie Woon has an album out called Oh Chris, Why Would You... Making Time is the name of his album. Woo! All right, knew that without having to look it up. So he did a set on KCRW's Morning Becomes Eclectic not too long ago, and the whole thing is up on the website, and there were some YouTube clips on there. One of my favorite records of his is a record called Sharpness. And I was like, oh, cool. He did a live set. Like, they, when you do Morning Becomes Eclectic, you go into the KCRW studios, and it's in Seattle somewhere. And you do your thing. And he had his band with him, which was really cool. And I was just a good, it was just a good set. I was listening to it while I was getting ready for a show that I did. Shout out to Nicole Renee at 10th Street Live. Had a good time doing the GQ comedy show. Was working on some bits and was feeling good about it. Like, it was a feeling good about some of the shit that I've been working on. So just gotta keep digging for more gold. Try to unearth some more shit. Yeah, so that was good. So check out Jamie Woon on Morning Becomes Eclectic. Guys, I think that's it. Where am I going to be? Am I going to be anywhere? Next week, I'm going to be... Now, they canceled. This is the second time they canceled on me because the club wasn't open because of the paperwork shit. They claim that the club is going to be open. Ha Comedy Club at the Ridge Hill Mall in Yonkers, New York. I'm scheduled to be there on the 28th, 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. I'm going to tweet it. So I'm going to be there. If you live in the area, that's where I'll be. More dates to come. I believe I got some dates in August. August 14th, I'll be at the Cellar Door in Frederick, Maryland, making my triumphant return to my college town. I haven't been there it'll be like 2 years since I've been there almost. So I'm excited to go back and do like some new jokes in Maryland. So I'm excited about that. So that is the end of the podcast. This has been episode 172 of the Mundane Festival. Thanks so much for listening. I will talk to you next time. Peace.